Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And Adam LaRoche, former first baseman for the Chicago White Sox, he has had a really successful year in the major leagues. His home run hitter recently walked away from a $13 million contract. The way a lot of these sports contracts work, me and Steve were talking about this before we got on air, that you know, you sign a multi-year deal, but it could be $50 million for 5 years. What does it mean you're going to get $10 million all 5 years? It could mean that the first year you get five, the second year, you know, you get seven or eight. And typically the last year is the most lucrative year, you know? And so for him, this was probably his biggest payday. And he walks away because two reasons. The main reason is he wanted to be with his 14-year-old son. Ever since he started the game playing, his 14-year-old son, and you're probably watching images of his son now, I believe his son's name is Adam, was with him every team he went, would show up to the ballpark every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And one of the contract negotiations he had, or some of the agreement he had when he came to the Chicago White Sox, was that, listen, my son needs to come with me to work every day. That's you know.
That's it.
I'll come. I'll play for your team. I'll wear your uniform. I'll hit home runs. But my son comes with me. And so at some point, that began to be a problem. They didn't like that. And so he decided to say, well, I think I'm done here. I'm finished, and I can choose. You know, the choice is such a powerful thing. You know, so many times people surrender their destiny and they say, well, I have to work this job. I have to. I have to go to this place. I have to do that. And you'll be surprised in life. There are very few things that you have to do, that you are not forced to do a lot of things. We all have a choice. And when you understand that you have freedom to make choices, then you understand that you are in control of your destiny. And I appreciate that about Adam LaRoche, because he said that, listen, I'm not forced to do this because I got bills and I need the money and all this type of stuff. He said, no, I can choose my destiny. I can choose whether I play, whether I don't play, but I want to do the things that matter most in life. And that's what we want to encourage you today to maybe Adam's story will encourage you to say, you know, am I living for the things that Christ died for?
Yeah.
You know, that's things that we need to think about. Am I living for the greater thing? And when it's all said and done, would I have any regrets?
Yeah.
And so I want you to listen and see Adam LaRoche as he's sharing a Nightline, his story, and why he made this amazing move. Watch this.
A month ago, Adam LaRoche thought he'd be knocking home runs out of the park right now for the Chicago White Sox. Instead, he's on a road trip in an RV with his family through the Pacific Northwest. For 12 years, LaRoche lived the quintessential American dream, playing baseball in the big leagues. But he abruptly quit the game last month. Today, for the first time on camera, he's telling ABC News why.
This is cut and dry, not up for debate. I said, this may be time to shut it down.
LaRoche says he walked away from the last year on his multi-million dollar contract after White Sox management told him he could no longer do what he loved most, bring his 14-year-old son Drake with him to the clubhouse.
How are you different when he's around?
You enjoy being with your best friend, and that's kind of how I view it. It's just kind of having my, you know, one of my best friends with me. Plus, I enjoy having somebody there to go run the errands and do the things that I don't want to do. My sidekick.
LaRoche took his son Drake to work with him pretty much every day the past five seasons. He did chores for other players, even had his own locker right next to his dad's.
What was your role? What was your even job?
I clean shoes most of the time, so I just did a little bit of everything.
Drake has been an exception to a lot of rules.
Have you ever heard from anyone who had an issue with Drake being with you as much as he was?
No, not that I can remember.
But in early March, LaRoche says he was approached by the team executive vice president, Kenny Williams, who initially asked him to dial back Drake's presence in the clubhouse.
I don't know that it was coming from a bad place. I think I had a bad year. In his mind, it may have been, okay, Can I get more production out of Adam if he's not, doesn't have this distraction?
LaRoche says he was then told not to bring Drake around at all.
He just said enough, you know, enough's enough. I don't want to see your son around here anymore.
After that heated conversation, when did retiring start swirling around in your mind?
Probably 20 minutes later.
A few days later, LaRoche announced his decision to retire, sparking a public debate about kids in the workplace.
I also applaud Adam LaRoche.
I don't care if you're a dad and you work at a bank or a newsroom or at the rock quarry. Every day is too much.
We have a responsibility as fathers to teach our kids how to grow up to be men and women of character, of values.
Still, many people wonder, how do you walk away from millions of dollars just 6 months before the end of your contract?
How much was money a factor when you were sitting down and making a decision?
Not a huge one.
But Adam, $13 million is $13 million for 6 months of work.
But I learned a long time ago, no matter how much we have, it's never enough.
When asked for comment on LaRoche's departure from the team, the White Sox referred ABC News to a statement made last week by general manager Rick Hahn, who said, "We've made a point of saying we've turned the page as an organization." LaRoche says regardless of the policy change about his son, there was something else compelling him to quit the game.
The reason I said that this may have been my last year is for something I experienced in the offseason that just really... Just really messed me up.
That life-changing experience, a trip last fall to Southeast Asia with his close friend and Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Blaine Boyer. The two pro baseball players went undercover with the nonprofit organization, the Exodus Road, looking for victims of sex trafficking. This footage is from some of the group's past investigations.
We go over and spend 10 days with these girls that are literally raped six, eight, 10 times a night, and as young as 10, 12 years old. I think that would mess anybody up.
I believe we are called by God to do this stuff.
Boyer says as difficult as the trip was, he felt driven by faith.
That's what our Christian faith outlines. That's what we do.
An estimated 4.5 million people around the world are enslaved in sex work. LaRoche says witnessing the harsh realities of sex trafficking gave him a new perspective on his life as a professional athlete.
I guess I realize more how much of a kind of a fantasy world we live in here, that I live in for sure, with baseball. We make a crazy amount of money. You're waited on hand and foot everywhere you go. It's not real life.
When their trip was over, Boyer says he and LaRoche faced their return to baseball with dread.
You know, Adam did. He looked at me. He's like, "So we're going back home and we're going to go play a baseball game when we know what's going on over here."
Baseball wasn't as important after that trip.
It wasn't at all.
A lot of people are shocked at the fact that two baseball players are doing this. I don't get it. It's, you know, why not? Why not us?
Even though they have no experience, Boyer says he feels he and LaRoche can make a difference. LaRoche and Boyer are two of the latest celebrities to go undercover to try to save child sex slaves.
Isn't this amazing, Steve?
This is exciting because you look at a man who really understands, like you're talking about values. I mean, think about all of us have priorities. And the question is, what are you living your life for? When you get up in the morning, what is it that you do? What is the reason why it is that you do what you do? And the question is, he comes face to face with the reality that my son is more valuable. My family is more valuable than $13 million.
Is that amazing? Listen, this is what we're seeing is Malachi 4, verse 5 through 6.
Yeah.
"See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children back to their parents, or else I'll strike the land with destruction." And this is such a beautiful thing. I mean, just reminds me of what, you know, Greg Lancaster started years ago with the father and son camping trips and the Next Step Outbacks, that so many fathers and sons in this community had the chance to be able to reconnect with their fathers and with their sons, even boys that didn't have fathers at home, mentors. And for over 10 years, Steve, over 10 years, a 1,000 campers a year and had this opportunity. And it was amazing out in the wilderness. And the whole theme was really a prophecy, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that God was turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the father. And it's really an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. And I think about what Adam said, because I think, you know, we hear things and we're like, you know, okay, that's cool and you know, whatever. But he says it's our responsibility as fathers to teach our kids how to grow up to be men and women of character and value. So many people today are asking, what is missing today in our youth? What is missing, you know, with our young people? And you think about so many of our young people have been raised in fatherless homes. We should applaud any parent that wants to spend as much time mm-hmm. as they can with their children
yeah.
to teach them the way that they should go. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? Teach, you know, train the child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart.
Mm-hmm.
And if the parents don't teach them values and character,
where are they going to get it from?
Yeah, they're not going to get them from TV.
Yeah.
And when they asked him, you know, about choices and money and things of that nature, he said, listen, I learned a long time ago that you never have enough, you know, you never have enough. And if you're always trying to get more and more and more, you'll never have enough. That's why the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, I learned, you know, how to have a lot and I learned how to have a little. Listen, the thing is that God is enough. And at what point is God going to be enough in our own lives where we can make those such important decisions? Because, you know, you realize once you raise this, you know, a few children, you realize they don't live with you forever. You know, eventually, Steve, they get older. And you know what happens? They leave your home.
That's right.
And they start their own families and their own lives. And what you woulda, coulda, or should have done with them or taught them, you know, that time has long passed. And, you know, you may be watching today and realizing, you know, life is just moving way too fast. Maybe this is a way that God's speaking to you about reprioritizing your life around the things that matter most. Former Chicago White Sox first baseman walks away from $13 million because his 14-year-old son can no longer come with him to the ball field. Listen, this is an amazing story because it speaks to us on so many fronts. One, today so many of us, so many Americans, so many, even in the church, you know, you can get so sidetracked with what the true priorities are, you know, and how many people today, Steve, how many people are making decisions filtered with money as the number one thing?
Yeah.
You know, people always say, well, I need money for this, and it just costs so much more to live life, and you need, and the thing is that, yeah, you know, how much needs versus wants, and what are your priorities? You know, how many hours dedicated to a job or, you know, working and doing these type of things? Because at the end of the day, you're not going to wish, I promise you, you know, you're not going to say, I wish I worked more hours. You know, I've had the opportunity to be at some of people's deathbeds when I was a chaplain intern at LSU Medical Center and prayed with a lot of people, you know, before they passed. I say a lot, but, you know, it was a lot to me.
Yeah.
But people have regrets when they pass away, Steve. They have regrets. And
how short life is.
Yeah. Two of the big regrets they have is, one, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And the other regret is I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to see him. And you can avoid those regrets. You know, you can avoid those regrets by seizing the moment. And sometimes it may take a program like this. It may take a health scare. That happens to a lot of folks. They get a health scare and all of a sudden they become awakened to the reality that life is fragile. Things don't always remain the same, and that it could all end. Mm-hmm. And would I be happy? Would I be okay with how the story ends if it ended right now? And that's a question you could ask yourself. Would you be happy with that, with how things are going in your family, how things are going even with your own walk with God? Or would you be like, man, I wish I really would have went for it. I wish I would have gave all that I could for God in the time that I had to do it. I hear that quite a bit sometimes from people.
Well, you hear a lot about it too, and also in the West here in America, because when I think about what Adam Loesch is saying, he's like, you know, we live in a fantasy world, and he says, especially myself, because we have a culture that God has blessed us so much with that the poorest person in America brings in more income than 70% of the world. And when you look at his experience, he travels outside of America. And I can speak for that myself. When I was in the Marine Corps and I traveled over to the Middle East, and you get an accurate understanding of how people truly live, you come back to America and you're like, I can't continue to live this fantasy lifestyle and just say everything's normal and continue on.
Yeah.
Your priorities are radically shifted into what matters most.
Yeah. You know, it was Dr. King who said, a man who does not have something for which he's willing to die for is not fit to live. And it comes to a point we got to realize that life is just so much more than the white picket fence, the next house, the next vacation. But that my life has to matter because Jesus died for my life. He died to redeem me, you know, and Jesus dying on the cross is his gift for you. But what you do with your life is your gift to him. And I tell you, you know, I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just don't want to go there and saying, I was watching TV, or, you know, I was playing baseball. Yeah. No. We want to be on the front lines to give God all the glory.
Yeah.
And I promise you, that's something you will not be disappointed in. But it just kind of brings us to talking about child sex slavery, because Adam realized that, you know, there's something bigger for my life. You know, I don't have time to be chasing baseballs anymore. When I realized that 4.5 million children are enslaved, that means they're slaves. They're held captives. And they're being raped repeatedly for 10, 12 hours a day. I mean, this is an atrocity. This is that something like this could happen in the 21st century. I mean, it's just
happening right now.
It's happening right now.
Yeah.
While we fall asleep. And so, you know, there are ways to get involved. And we encourage you, listen, get involved. This is an issue that we've talked a lot about here on VFN TV, but you know, one of the ways that you can get involved in ending, you know, human trafficking, and particularly this case, sex slavery, is to educate, to inform, to bring awareness. You know, believe it or not, a lot of people still don't know. Mm-hmm. So you want to begin to educate and share what's happening. Another way is you can volunteer to help organizations. You know, give up your time. Always important. You can donate financially. Listen, there's people that are going, they're doing the work, and maybe you can't go because you're doing other things, you're involved in other areas, but you have the finances and you can say, listen, I can give to that. Listen, give liberally. You're not going to be disappointed for giving to rescue someone's life. Mm-hmm. You won't be disappointed with that, right?
And the person who's affected,
they'll be grateful.
Excessively.
Yeah. Always, you can pray strategically. You know, that's always the chief thing. The most important thing is to pray, you know, to set the captives free. That's what Jesus came for, set the captives free. And then there's another way that you can be involved in it. Maybe it's what Operation Underground is doing right now. They're involved in doing physical extractions. These are guys and women that go into these countries and actually rescue, pull away these children. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to educate you and show you what they're doing, and a new movie called The Abolitionist. It's a movie all about what they're doing in these other parts of the world where they're rescuing these child sex slaves. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be, I mean, amazing, because, again, it's just bringing us to a deeper level of awareness. And it's also going to encourage you to know that something is being done. We're talking about all the different ways that you can get involved, and we'll make sure that this is all, you know, related for you in the torch, so that you know, because what happens is that our hearts get awakened, Steve, to this reality, and then we're like, well, maybe if I knew what I could. Listen, we're going to tell you can get involved. There's ways that you can get involved, but we want to share with you what's happening right now with Operation Underground Railroad. It's an organization that actually does physical extractions. They actually go and save and physically rescue these children. I mean, it is an amazing operation. In fact, I want you to watch this.
It is called Operation Underground Railroad. It's a team of specialists, former CIA agents, former special agents, former Navy SEALs, former Green Berets. They all have a unique skill set for extracting people, extracting, in this case, children from the sex trade. They are the underground jump team.
We find children that have been kidnapped. used for sexual slaves, and we go get them, and we take them to a better life. I'm telling you, we are the people that do that. We can go in there and extract these kids. I've broken up slavery rings. I've seen what it's done to people. These children deserve better.
Now, this jump team represents a bright light that will destroy the darkness of the child sex slavery and its tentacles throughout the world. Using cutting-edge technology that will boggle your mind, it identifies the black markets of child porn production. And then using the latest in undercover sting operations, the jump team will liberate these children and permanently dismantle those sex rings that hold them captive. They'll then take these kids back either home to their parents or places where they can be cared for.
That's amazing. That's amazing. These guys are risking their mm-hmm. lives, and they're going in and saying, man, I want to rescue. I want to rescue a child. And you can be a part of that. You know, we all can play our part and our role. But we're going to show you a first look. Glenn Beck and his production was able to get a first look at a new movie that's called, Steve, The Abolitionists. Mm-hmm. I believe it's due to come out May the 1st. And this is what Adam LaRoche, you know, got exposed to when him and another baseball player said, let's go and just see. Let's help what we can do. And this movie is amazing because it has, you know, so many features, and because it's bringing awareness and it's really showing the ugliness of what's happening. But secondly, Steve, reportedly one of the people that were involved in creating Schindler's List approach, I believe it's Tom Ballard, the founder of Operation Underground, saying, listen, we want to make a movie. Can we follow you? You know, he says the thing about us making Schindler's List was, you know, the regret is that somehow this movie could have, you know, could have been made during the Holocaust, because had it been made during that time, maybe we could have just stopped the Holocaust immediately and mm-hmm. 6 million Jews didn't have to die, you know. And so at the end when they made it, obviously it was just, you know, exposing what took place. He says, but with child sex slavery, if we make a movie now, we could actually end this thing. That's end it.
Yeah.
And so it's refreshing, you know, to know that we are on the tipping point. What would happen? I mean, imagine the possibilities of this, you know, ending child sex slavery in the 21st century. I know that's what A21's whole mission statement is with Christine Kane. Just let's end this thing. Let's put an end to it. And let's cry out to God. But I want you to watch as Glenn sets up the first look into this amazing movie called The Abolitionists. Watch this.
I want to show you the first look at The Abolitionist. Watch.
I started off in the CIA and then went to the Department of Homeland Security, where they asked me to start a child crimes group. I said, no, I can't do that. I got kids. I just can't imagine having to witness that kind of thing. My boss said, we need you to do this because this is so hard. You have a religious background that's going to give you the foundation so that you can deal with this. I've been doing that ever since. Everything from child pornography to child trafficking to child sex tourism. I've worked, you know, domestic, overseas, a lot of cyber, you know, computer crimes. The first case I worked was absolutely life-altering for me. The case was, it was a little boy who had been trafficked along with his sister back and forth from Mexico, and they were being raped by this monster. I was called down there to investigate this, and there's a video of this little boy being raped. The monster's like, he would take videos of it, and we had to watch it. That's one of the stomach-turning things. You've got to watch it to find clues. Where is he? What's in the background? Is there anything we can identify? And I was one of the first on the scene, and this little boy jumps into my arms, and I have this moment with him where I'm just holding this little boy and, you know, just crying with him. And he says to me, he says, I don't belong here. Him and his sister, they believed that God would at some point intervene, at some point save them. And they had this necklace, and the sister, she gave it to him at the scene of rescue, and as scenes were kind of, the dust was settling, they realized that they were rescued, and actually gave me the necklace, and I wear this necklace. And I didn't even tell you, I mean, no one even knew this story for, my wife didn't even know for like 8 years. It was just so hard for me to even talk about. And I thought, can I do this? Can I possibly continue in a job? It forces me to see this again and again. And ultimately I decided that it was that experience that actually, instead of dissuading me, actually in the end encouraged me. And that's all I will do. That's all I'll do for the rest of my career, for my life.
Working for the United States government has been great, but they only let us get the children who fall within the purview of the United States, which takes out about 90% of the enslaved children of the world. We know where they are. I know where they are. But no one's looking for them. So it occurred to me, what if I left the government and was free to go after those lost children? And that's how the Operation Underground Railroad runs. And again, when we're in a foreign government, we work with the foreign government. We come in the front door. We don't try to go behind their backs. We work with them. And we will do whatever we can. Go undercover for them. Let us come down and be the American faces that you need to make this sting operation work. The whole case for them. Deliver it to them on a silver platter. Let them take the credit. Let them be the heroes. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go after these bad guys. Anywhere they are, we're going to find them, we're going to root them out, we're going to pull these kids out, and we're going to save some kids. I'm telling you, and it's a world that I know I understand better than most people, but you don't even know how prevalent this is. Little kids this age being forced into sexual exploitation. Like, you have no concept of how real and how huge it is. How huge it is. There's thousands of people who do this, and they would love to get their hands on little kids like this and have them as objects. The same thing was happening in America and with slavery. You own people, you think you can do whatever you want with them. You know, that's thousands of images being downloaded every day, every second, of child rape videos. How old do you think those kids are? I've seen those videos. I've had to describe them. I've had to describe them before a judge, before a jury. I've seen hundreds of them. And they're this age. So
This is, and I fear that people won't understand.
Because she doesn't look like a bad guy.
They never look like bad guys. I've arrested dozens of bad guys. None of them look like bad guys. They look like you, they look like me. They're not all bad. But at the end of the day, you can't traffic children.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there's laws put in place to protect kids. And one of those laws, surprise, surprise, is you can't sell them. Like, you can't sell human beings and put a price tag on them. And that's what these two people did. Both of them did it. Both of them knew they were doing it. They didn't know who we were. They knew us for an hour. And no idea who we were. If you guys were traffickers, you'd come in just like this.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. CT Stud said this. Some people want to live within the sound of mission bells, but I want to run a mission a yard from the gates of hell. And I think about CT, he was a missionary to China. I think about what Tom is doing. I think about what Adam LaRoche says. Listen, I don't want comfortable Christianity. You know, I don't want to do the same old type of thing. You know, I want my life to matter.
That's right.
And it's a question that I think we all have to ask ourselves. Are the things that we're living for, are they worth Jesus Christ dying for? At the end of the day, what are we doing? Steve, when children in this century, right now,
as we're discussing this matter right now, it's happening.
And it's Americans.
Yeah.
Americans that are traveling overseas for children's sex toys. I mean, what is going on? And it's just so challenging. I mean, we can end this, but it's going to happen when we're aware, when we pray strategically, when we get involved and say, I'm not going to leave it to somebody else. I'm glad that they're doing that. But it's when we say, how can I play a part? How can I play a role?
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's the thing where you have to come in that awareness of it. It's just like, how much do I have to hate someone not to do something? Because if we understand truly what is happening, it's just like, I'm compelled to do something now. I'm compelled to make a difference and now act upon this.
Yeah. So we have a choice. Yeah, we have a choice. You can volunteer. You can give financially. You can educate, inform, bring awareness. You can share all the things that we're discussing right now on Facebook, social media. You can get the word out so that we can do our part and play our role. Listen, we want to pray with you. We encourage you to please pray for us. We appreciate your prayers. But let's just go to God in prayer. Dear God, Lord Jesus, Father, we pray right now, Lord, with our audience, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in West Virginia. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit and the revival amongst young people. And Father, we thank you for Adam, Lord, and what he is doing. Former baseball player who's saying life is more important than fame and wealth and riches, but it's what we've done for the least of these, Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion. We ask you to end human trafficking. We ask you to end child sex slavery, Lord. Set the captives free. And speak to us, Lord, about our involvement. What do you want us to do in this day and this hour? Lord, and send, Lord, a third great awakening. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.